Susan Cummings' surgeon proclaimed to her a few weeks after her mastectomy, "You're cured now, that's it." But that wasn't it by a long shot. For Cummings, who had just written a memoir, Cummings has just written a memoir about her first 6 years after treatment for early stage breast cancer. She writes about being a struggling New York actress and wrangles with her fear of more cancer and shame of her altered body. Susan Cummings is a writer and a 20-year survivor of early-stage breast cancer. Once a newspaper reporter, she has since been published in a number of literary journals. Her new book is Adventures of a One-Breasted Woman, Reclaiming My Moxie After Cancer. Susan Cummings, a great pleasure. Thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you very much, Joe. It's a pleasure to be here.
A delight to have you here. So the story begins just over 20 years ago, and I assume, with that said, is something you live with every day.
Yes.
In some way.
That's right. I mean, even though it's been 20 years now, you never forget it. I mean, it kind of goes in the background, but then it's always there. I mean, because I had an early stage breast cancer, but the doctors told me that having had cancer, you have a higher risk of getting another cancer, and that risk increases every year. I had like a 1% chance of recurrence of the early stage breast cancer, but I was very worried about getting another cancer, you know.
Yeah.
But I have to say that, you know, those are the conditions under which I live. And I think it makes life more precious, you know, because you have that in the back of your mind all
sure.
the time.
Sure. There's a little tap on the shoulder that reminds you that time is fleeting.
Yeah.
And make the most of it, sure.
Exactly.
When you early stage, when you find out, do we look at this and say, okay, if this were to happen now as opposed to 20 years ago, that maybe they wouldn't have done the mastectomy? Or have we moved on, or is that still would have been the treatment, do you think?
Well, I don't keep track, but in my case, it was a very aggressive kind of cancer cell. And, I mean, I had a choice, but they said with my situation that it was, you know, a better percentage for me if I had a mastectomy.
Yeah.
And, yeah, it's a very personal decision, of course, for everybody. But
as I mentioned in the introduction, so the surgeon tells you, well, you're cured now.
Right.
But there's a lot, obviously a lot more to it than that.
Yes, I mean, the first thing was that when I heard that I'm at higher risk for other people than other people who haven't had cancer and that the risk increases every year, that's what drove me, I think, to, like, for a year, I'm looking for a health regimen that would absolutely prevent me from getting cancer again, quote unquote, you know.
Right.
And that was quite an odyssey. But in addition, being a single woman in New York, struggling actress at that, being one-breasted and I decided not to have reconstruction. Well, that's a situation. So I think it took me 6+ years to get my moxie back. And I think there was the fear of getting more cancer, but the other big thing was body image. And body image, it's like both me accepting myself and then how is the world going to react to this?
Right.
You know.
I want to get to that in a second about body image and about of your acceptance and you know, then worrying about the rest of the world. You have a chapter in the book called From Finding Fault to Finding Violets. Was there a part there where you were trying to blame it on something?
Well, I mean, I didn't know that I had these anger at the time. I was sad, I knew that. I was afraid, but anger I didn't know about. And it happened that these people would come in my life, most of the people I didn't know, really. And I would express my displeasure with whatever my displeasure was to them.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, what exactly was your question?
My question was, no reason to be sorry. No, my question was, at what point did you, when you, I mentioned the title of the chapter, the third chapter about finding fault, and I wanted to hone in on that a little bit, of looking for someone to blame in all of this. How did I get cancer?
Right. Well, I didn't really blame anybody. It's just that I had anger about having to face this.
Yeah. You know?
And it came out. I didn't realize at the time, but it came out, you know, there would be a supposedly macrobiotic restaurant in New York City. And I found out that they were using margarine and sugar in a microwave. And this would set me off. You know? Or there was supposedly a macrobiotic doctor that I went all the way to Rochester to see, and it turned out she'd only helped one person with a macrobiotic diet, you know. Or the psychologist who was the best psychologist I met during this period. She was just wonderful. However, she would only see, she charged $100 a session, and she would only see you if you saw her once a week. And I couldn't afford that, you know. So I let all these people know how I was feeling, you know.
And isn't there a part, because if it were me,
yes,
I think there would be a part that would say, look, I just went through cancer, for God's sakes.
Mm-hmm.
Give me this. You know, mm-hmm. I mean, this, at least give me my moment to vent about this.
Yes. I mean.
Doesn't make it right.
No.
But it does, I think it is understandable.
Yes. I think there was also Bernie Siegel. You're
yeah.
familiar with him?
No, sure. Well, Medicine and Miracles.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I was aware of him, and he was saying, got to be positive. And so it kind of scared me, you know.
That you weren't positive.
Yeah. And I think that's one of the reasons. I mean, I had a therapist at the time, thank God. But I hardly ever got angry in there, too. It was just, I was scared to get angry, you know. And that's how it came out. But then I saw my friend Jean in the country. And that kind of got me over the anger, I think. Because she's very close to nature. She was in Kent, Connecticut. Near Kent, Connecticut. And we were eating edible weeds because she was really into that. And walking and just being with my good friend that I've known for years and years and years and years. And so when I got back to New York, I started finding edible weeds in Central Park, hoping that the dogs hadn't peed on
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I watched those.
And I mean, I just kind of got over it by being really with the green, with nature, helped me get over that.
When you talked about this, and you said this earlier, and it's a subtitle of the book, of reclaiming my moxie, mm-hmm. what was your level of moxie prior, and that you were trying to reclaim? What point were you trying to get back to?
Well, moxie to me means self-confidence and joie de vivre, a combination of,
right.
of that.
And you had that
yeah,
prior.
I had that. And it took me a long time to reclaim. Even 4 years out, I think largely because of my altered body, I was, you know, a cancer survivor. I just couldn't get out of the morass of it, you know.
Yeah.
And I wasn't auditioning. I felt ashamed of being one-breasted, which infuriated me because I was grateful to be alive. On the other hand, you know, I'm thinking of the rest of the world. I had done lots of stuff previous. I had lots of adventures, as it were, which helped me feel more comfortable with my body, that I honestly felt that I was beautiful, you know.
Yeah.
But it was the rest of the world that I just couldn't, I was scared to participate with. I mean men, I meant heterosexual, so it was men.
Yeah. Right. Was there a point where things were actually said to you, or was it just going on in your mind of what was happening in sort of a rejection, if you will?
Well, you know, my brother, whom I love very much and I know loves me very much, he said, when I was considering having a mastectomy instead of a lumpectomy, he said, are you sure you want to do that, Susan? And I said, excuse me? I'm more sure of living. And, you know, it went on a little bit, this conversation. And as I want to repeat again, it's everybody's decision. Everybody
right.
makes a different decision. And so I saw right there, my brother, who loves me very much, he obviously thought, within the context of this conversation that I had with him, that men would reject me. And I didn't get past first base. Then I had a real crisis in year 4 after my mastectomy, as I say, still stuck. And my ex-boyfriend we had been good friends for years, even, you know, after we were girlfriend and boyfriend. And he tells me on the phone one day, mind you, he said, "You're a hard act to follow, Susan. You're a hard act to follow." And then this one day, he tells me on the phone, "I have a new girlfriend." Mm. And this just threw me down into despair, just really deep despair. I was in art therapy at the time, which, by the way, I recommend to everyone. And this particular day, it happened on one day. And like within a week, I had another art therapy session. I did it for about a year. And this particular day, I was just so upset that I drew my body from my head down to my waist with this red scar across my left chest. And I was just so upset. And then because of the months that I've been in art therapy, and by the way, I'd like to share that art therapy really showed me the richness of our psyches. I mean, we have simultaneously universes of darkness and light, of pain, of anger, of sadness, contentment, of happiness, of ecstasy. We have it all. So I'm just saying that because I would experience this in art therapy every single session. Mm. And this particular time, I drew this red slash, and then it wasn't a gimmick, Joe, you know, within the context of what I've been doing for months, you know, I'd been experiencing that. I'd go in there a lot upset, and I'd come out knowing that I have these other aspects to my psyche, you know. So I drew this vine, this green vine that, to me, I mean, I'm a stick figure drawer, but still, came out of my red slash and circled around my left chest, circled around my right, circled around my neck, made my sad face a happy face, and circled around my eyes and went off the page. And I entitled that "Take the New Road, Babe." We always entitled our pieces. Mm-hmm. And I swear, doing that, you know, changed my life. I turned the corner and I said, I'm not going to dwell on my losses. I'm just going to forget men for now. Just forget it. I'm going to have a very nice life without them. And so, you know, I have good girlfriends. I have seemingly good health. I have things I want to do. I'm going to do it. And I started auditioning again. And that's not the end of the story. But to me, that was a very positive thing to say at the time. And it was art therapy, you know. And also, it's that we have these inner resources, rich inner resources. I wanted to say that in addition to grace in the world that helps us through times like this.
Susan Cummings is our guest. The name of the book is Adventures of a One-Breasted Woman, Reclaiming My Moxie After Cancer. So this drawing was really the start of that reclaiming of saying, okay, this is who I am, and accepting yourself. So at what point was it that, all right, you started to care?
Care
about men again.
Oh, well, could I just say that earlier I'd had experiences where I felt okay about myself, you know?
Yeah.
I felt beautiful. And, I mean, Matt, is there time to share something or no?
Well, sure. We have about 8 minutes, so do with it what you may.
Well, I mean, earlier,
I guess seven, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
To show that we have inner resources, I mean, I was walking through the park one day. This is about, well, it's about both, actually. And walking through Central Park to get from the east side to the west side. And it occurred to me, it was in the fall, and so a lot of the leaves, most of the leaves were off the deciduous trees, and I just saw this one tree, deciduous tree, and it was just, it was like, the trunk was like, it went up, and then it curved down toward the ground, and then went up again to the sky, and there are all these spindly branches coming off it, you know?
Right.
And I thought, gee, I think that's pretty. And I wonder if it just popped in my head, you know, I wonder if I'll find all the, it was asymmetrical, okay? I wonder if I'll find all the asymmetrical trees that I could, you know, the deciduous trees, beautiful. So I swear I saw hundreds of trees. And by the time I got to the west side, I thought they were all beautiful. They were all asymmetrical. They were all beautiful. In fact, their asymmetry, even if there were injuries, there was one that had all the branches torn, cut off on the north side. And I thought, they were all beautiful, and in fact, their asymmetry, including their injuries, is at the core of their beauty.
Right.
And that was an epiphany for me, for self-acceptance.
The uniqueness.
Yes, exactly.
Is what made it special and beautiful.
Exactly.
So coming to terms with that.
Yeah.
Then you can start to move on and have relationships again and feel okay.
Well, it was a very gradual process. I mean, I think I decided going to art therapy, which is out there, which was year four or something, you know, and then so I was fine with that. And I was auditioning. I got, you know, some parts, and that was wonderful. And at one point I decided, you know, it was on my bucket list to ballroom dance. So I decided I didn't need two breasts or a boyfriend. I needed dance lessons. So I took the dance lessons just because it was on my bucket list, and because moving to beautiful music has always been important to me, and it makes you feel beautiful to dance to beautiful music, especially if you know some steps. So I did that, and I really wasn't thinking, of men. I mean, it was fun to dance with men, but I wasn't thinking of anything serious,
right.
And I wasn't thinking of a date. I was thinking of a date. And then I thought, well, it's just too bad I'm ineligible. Well, whatever. And then I get a mailing from Memorial Sloan Kettering. And this is Grace. You know, Grace happens, you know.
Yeah.
A workshop in dating and disclosure. Okay. So I went. It was about maybe 15 all women. And there were women in there in their 20s and 30s. Broke your heart. But nevertheless, they were very strong. And this one woman said, it's nobody's business, my cancer history, unless we get serious. And it just opened the door for me. I thought, sure, I don't have to get serious with man. I mean, I'm not ready for that. No. But I can have fun. Girls just want to have fun. Cindy Lauper. I mean, that was my mantra, you know? And I did start dating. And one thing led to another, step by step.
Yeah. And reached a point where... I mean, just to fast forward on it and without getting too personal, but uh-huh. there is a point where you look back at it now and you say, I don't know why I made such a big deal of it. I understand it, but, you know, and I'm glad I'm through that part.
Well, you know, 1 in 8 women get breast cancer.
Yeah.
Some have reconstruction, some don't. Some have mastectomies, some don't. There are a lot of women out there, you know, who are one-breasted.
Right.
And I don't think everybody thinks that a one-breasted woman is beautiful, you know. And despite the fact, by the way, I went into the Metropolitan and I saw all these Marys breastfeeding Jesus, right? And only one breast is exposed. But generally, we're kind of trapped with symmetry as far as the human body goes. I mean, I think we have a way to go in this department.
Right.
But luckily for me, I happened to meet someone who thought I was beautiful. I didn't know this, but he knew that I was one-breasted when he first met me. But I didn't think it was obvious, but it was. And he would say all the time to me, "Oh, I think you're beautiful." I mean, before I knew that he knew, and obviously before we got to a certain level. So I mean, you know, look at that. I mean, that there's a person who, you know, asymmetry is okay, you know?
Absolutely. And continues to be. And so we're out of time, but the name of the book is Adventures of a One-Breasted Woman. You're still having adventures.
Yes. Thank you. Yes, but maybe we're going on from the breast cancer now.
That's great. New adventures.
New adventures.
Stuff.
Yes.
Well, it's the book is amazing, and I thank you so much for coming in and sharing with us. It is Adventures of a One-Breasted Woman, Reclaiming My Moxie After Cancer. It is published by Booksmith Press, and if you go to thebooksmith.com, you can find out more information. Susan Cummings, a great pleasure. Thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you so much, Joe.
A delight. Thank you. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.